Episode 481 of Global From Asia podcast, The Cost of Going Green, Tariffs, Packaging, and Global Trade in 2026.
Welcome to the Global From Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business is broken down into straight up actionable advice.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Global From Asia.
What's up, Lisa? And what's up, GFA family? Mike here in Chiang Mai, and I'm really excited about today's conversation.
Same. We're diving into something that's becoming impossible to ignore in 2026. The real cost of going green. Tariffs are shifting, packaging regulations are tightening, buyers and governments are watching sustainability way more closely.
Exactly. Today we've got Sivan Jalad, eco-conscious product designer, global manufacturing veteran, and the guy behind SoGreenPack.com. He's lived the journey from traditional sourcing in China to building a full-on sustainable packaging operation. And he's got stories and tactics that will make you rethink your entire supply chain.
If you're an Amazon seller, CPG brand, or anyone shipping cross-border, this episode is packed with reality checks on eco-materials, hidden tariff advantages, logistics traps, and how to future-proof your packaging without killing margins.
We cover misconceptions, real cost comparisons, ethical manufacturing angles, and even how some eco-choices might actually lower your duties in certain classifications. Super timely stuff.
Before we jump in, quick shout out to two events you won't want to miss if you're serious about leveling up your global game.
First, Cross-Border Summit is back in Chiang Mai, November 3rd to 5th, 2026, and it's going to be better than ever. Deeper sessions, stronger networking, more actionable takeaways from people actually doing the cross-border work right now. Check out crossbordersummit.com.
And then early this year, we've got the Cross-Border Mastermind in beautiful Samui, March 24th to 27th, 2026. Small group, high trust environment, perfect for the deeper strategy and mastermind style problem solving. Check out crossbordermastermind.com/Samui2026.
Thanks everybody for tuning to our Global From Asia podcast. It's a pleasure to introduce Sivan Jalad.
Hey,
how you doing today?
Hey, what's up, Mike? I'm good.
Great.
How are you doing?
Great. We're just chatting a little bit before the recording and like overwhelmed with AI and the technology. Setting up a 3D printer, actually, just behind this curtain.
Really?
Yeah.
I've been thinking about it. Want to build my first racing drone. I should get a printer.
Yeah. I could share it where my son and I are setting it up. But lots going on here. And how about you? So you're a eco-conscious product designer and, of course, CEO, business owner of SoGreenPack. So we've gotten a pleasure to get to know each other over the last couple of years at the summits and our masterminds and everything. And it's been really nice to know you. And I'm excited for today's discussion.
Yeah, man. I love everything you do. Whenever you set something up, I'll pop in.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I do notice and appreciate that.
Yeah, I like the community that you set up.
Yeah.
I learned so much with the people that come to those summits. So it's great investment built in time. And yeah, awesome. I really like to.
Thanks for that. So today we're going to get to know you a little bit more in your journey. And then, of course, also about just what you're involved with sustainable packaging and eco-conscious and manufacturing global. I know you do a lot with China. You're also here in Thailand now. So, you know, what's the origin story? How did you get into this world of eco-conscious products and your manufacturing and product design?
Yeah. When I was young, I wanted to be an astronaut, not a...
Oh, really?
A packaging designer. It's not something that... It wasn't my dream. But I've been living in China for a while and basically doing a lot of manufacturing and sourcing. And one thing led to another. And I started working with the smoothie company, which they need a lot of cups and straws and lids and trays and carriers. And it took us a year basically to pinpoint that factory that we can work with. And finally, we made like a really good product for them, and we started rolling with it. And I was sitting at a dinner table with my family, and I said, I just shipped a container full of plastic straws. And my family looked at me and they said, Dad, a container full of plastic straws? That's crazy. It's think of all the sea turtles you're gonna kill. And that got me thinking. I said, wow,
True.
this is I have a negative impact here on the environment. I'm an agent and I'm manufacturing for someone who needs something, but basically I'm responsible for creating a lot of waste. And that really got me going and thinking about how can I offset that? What other materials are there? And what can we do? What can I do to feel better with myself and for my family to feel good about me? And this is where I make the transition, starting to look into alternative materials for the CPG, food and beverage industry. And I was lucky because that journey led me basically to working with the states, with the United States, working with really big customers, and really deepened my understanding of how this industry works and where's the gap that you can come in and maybe disrupt or introduce new products and new materials that actually do good for the environment. So basically, it wasn't planned, but I had a breadcrumbs, I was going along a path. Whenever opportunities presented itself, I just followed it until I created the knowledge to basically think alternatively around CPG, food and beverage packaging. And that led to another, that broadened my perspective that there's a lot of industries that are into biodegradable, compostable, alternative material packaging. Yeah, so briefly that's it.
That sounds good. So summarizing, you're out China doing sourcing, and like I also was doing that for a bit, and then you got into this niche of this packaging, and then eco-conscious is the word, eco-friendly, green. Is there a word?
Yeah,
And
you know, that just a lot of words. The words
yeah.
go the terms go goes from biodegradable, compostable material or food packaging or packaging.
Okay. It's definitely a noble cause. I know even in the US they banned, I think, or is it US or certain states in Europe and other countries or areas are like banning disposable like plastic stuff, or I know I've
There's
heard
a
that.
lot of regulations. California, for example, I used, for example, for bioplastics or PLA, for example.
Yeah.
And when you talk to factories in China, they say, oh, it's compostable plastic and you should use it. And I actually wanted to use it. And actually, it's worse than plastic.
Oh.
Yeah, it actually degrades into microplastics. It does degrade, but it degrades into the worst kind of plastic. It degrades into microplastics. And I stopped using that. And just around the time that California introduced
Yeah, that's
a
there.
regulation that's against PLA, and for example, you cannot sell PLA in California. So if I have some of, I have some stock in Amazon, I couldn't send it to California
Oh,
customers. Yeah.
interesting. So is it pack? Probably pack, feels like packaging probably is the biggest amount of waste, right? Of course, you buy something and then you throw a packaging, usually just throw away the packaging, right? It seems like this does have the highest impact to do the packaging, sustainable
It does.
packaging.
It does, especially in the United States, but everywhere. It that China manufactures so much plastic that it's the weight of 300 Titanics in 1 year.
300.
You can't really grasp your mind around the amount of plastics that's being manufactured every year. And this all gets shipped abroad, and eventually it's the municipal system that has to deal with that, and it's their biggest has the biggest impact on environmental issues and single-use plastics, food packaging made of plastic, styrofoam, all these kind of things. They pose a huge weight on municipal effort to maintain your living environment clean and healthy. So it's really something that you, when you choose to switch, like, for example, I'm vegan as well.
Yeah, I know.
Everything that, you know, you do with your own little small square where you stand on actually have impact. And when you choose to switch to using biodegradable or compostable alternative source of material for your food packaging, then you create a you make a difference. Now, maybe I'm jumping the gun here, but a lot of people say, and I've experienced that. You try to educate corporations that you work with, and they say, but it's too expensive for us.
Yeah, this is what is on my list. Yeah.
It's too expensive. We're going to have to, we spend $20, $30 million a year and on food packaging. And for example, a cinema concession company that spends between $15 and $20 million a year on single use packaging.
Yeah.
And then and for the cinema business is, it's very thin margins these days.
Oh, yeah. I'm curious how that space is evolving, but and, I just think of the popcorn boxes and everything, right?
And no, basically when today, if you look at the cinema business, the short runs, right? Movies go to a short run. It used to be weeks and weeks. Today it's very short. And the first couple of weeks, they need to pay like 70% to the studios or something like that. They have rent. And basically they're making money off their concessions, off popcorn, right? And when you tell them, okay, you should upgrade to biodegradable, compostable, alternative material packaging, they say, that's going to cost us 10% more. We can't handle that. That's going to price us out of any profit that we might have. Mm-hmm. Then you reframe the perspective. You say, because basically the audience is requesting that comes from, it's a grassroots demand. People are conscious about it. So maybe you have to pay 10% more or 5% more, but basically it pays off itself with brand awareness and other savings that you might have in terms of trash removal, trash handling, and your brand awareness. It actually contributes back to your bottom line.
Okay.
So you have to look when you source and you consider that sort of a change. You have to look at the bigger picture. And when you look at the bigger picture, again, you can't sell plastic straws in California. You're breaking the law if you do that. But they're still selling plastic straws. They're willing to, they don't even mitigate that risk because they're going to pay fines on that.
Yeah.
They might be paying fines. So when you do that change, when you switch, maybe the unit economy is a little higher, but if you look at the bigger picture, you're actually saving and you're making an impact. You're making a difference.
Yeah, we've talked about it in the show over years, and it's part of the branding and the marketing, and more customers are paying attention to this. I don't know if there's data, but it makes sense, especially if you're good at marketing and branding, to use this just to differentiate your product from competitors. So yeah, it's definitely something. Is this also for sellers, like selling, buying from China, like making 1,000 MOQ from a factory? They should also consider this, right? Like you're...
Look, there's a high adoption of new materials, especially in health products and health and beauty products. If you sell something that it's natural, that hasn't have side effects, you should consider your packaging as well.
Yeah.
And if your packaging reflects your product, then if you just sell something and you sell something that's, it's new, it's groundbreaking, or it's in the health and beauty, which is very conscious about these things now, but your package is all traditional plastic or traditional paper with plastic coating and all that stuff. And you're actually missing an opportunity to charge, to supercharge your brand, supercharge your product with, and it's another selling point.
Makes sense.
I think it's a good opportunity for sellers to go back and examine your packaging, how you package, all the way from the inner boxes, the packaging itself, the inner boxes, and a quarter. What do you do with some, when you pack in, there's a lot of free space. What you throw inside, you throw in like styrofoam, you throw plastic pillows. There's alternatives for that. Actually, save money.
Oh, it saves money too.
Yeah, and
everybody, a lot of us think it costs more. And later we'll talk about maybe tariffs and things, but I feel like sellers get squeezed from every direction. I talked to another seller yesterday, really hurting. The margins are just getting squeezed everywhere.
Oh my God.
So anywhere you can save, I feel. So especially if you can get eco-friendly and save, because I always thought it, I think a lot of us just think we're going to have to pay premium for the eco-friendly.
Well, not necessarily. The technology, and there's demand. Actually, polls show that 78% of consumers would actually prefer eco-friendly packaging.
Okay,
if they
that's
had
good
the choice.
There's some stats.
And if you go back and you talk to your factory and you ask them what other options they have, they might come up with an option that will actually cost the same.
Okay.
And it will give you advantage in terms of packaging, in terms of tariff, in terms of regulation, and in terms of brand awareness.
Okay.
If, for example, if you turn your packaging into something that can be used later instead of just throw it into the trash. So you can design a package that actually have, you can use it in other ways, or you can refill it, that kind of stuff. Every way you look at it, to go away from single-use packaging is you're making an impact.
Makes sense.
And I believe that when you do that, you're actually saving, even if per unit you have to pay a few cents more.
Yeah, but for our kids, for the world, and also to the long term of differentiation, maybe protecting from more regulations too, right? If you do it in advance and you're ready and you made that upfront transition, it's going to be a long term investment for yourself, for society, and maybe even for regulations or costs in the future. So you're ready now.
Yeah,
do
but
you supply
as
those people, or could sellers work with you, or is that what you do? Or
I started last year, I started working with a service that's called Keychain in the United States.
Okay.
And their focus is on the CPG, industry, consumer packaged goods industry. And usually before I started using Keychain, I was basically working at bulk, very large volumes. But what I like about Keychain is that I have a lot of top of the funnel customers with intent. And usually they're looking for lower volume orders. And at first we thought this is not really something that was going to be interesting for us. But actually, we saw that if we develop that kind of muscle working with lower volume, we actually get to work with very interesting brands that, all right, so you sell 2 million popcorn tubs or 1 million just very bland clamshell containers made of bagasse or whatever. But suddenly you start to see very interesting startups or new products that actually give you a jolt from doing that same old thing, and you start thinking about new products and new techniques and new strategies. So yeah, we now have this ability to work with lower volumes, especially with products that interest us. If someone tell me, hey, I need 10,000 pieces of coffee cups, not really interesting, and it needs to be branded. But if someone's coming up with a new idea for a package, that actually pose a challenge for us. And it's interesting to work on that product. It is something that we definitely interested to take part. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes we have, I can tell you, for example, we had a manufacturer of high-end olive oil, and they wanted to move from aluminum bottles to bio-PET, RPET, recycled PET. And we worked with them. We worked with them for a while, and we had to pull out. We had to pull out because their expectation of what RPET can do, and work with their just technical, but working with the co-packer and the sealing machine, that RPET couldn't sustain the force that is being applied by the sealing machine. We had to pull out because the material was not fit for the mission. But actually, it was very interesting working with them and understanding their market and what they need. And eventually, sometimes you just have to say, yeah, this is it's not a good fit with material. But then again, that challenge taught us a lot.
Okay. No, I get it. It's there's different ways to skin a cat, or there's different angles you can do to do different businesses and different business models, and packaging is a core thing. Like I don't know if you've heard me, but my dad would always say half the product is packaging, but people buy packaging. And I say it a lot, like on our Amazon listings, we show the packaging a lot on our photos and our descriptions. Because especially if it's a giftable or has like a high perceived value, you can take the same commodity product and put a good packaging and also this make it eco-friendly, eco-conscious, green, can really stand out. And I still think that's how sometimes we can differentiate from more cutthroat sellers that are so price competitive by using good packaging and good story. So it definitely is making sense.
Yeah, I think it definitely complements your brand.
Yeah.
Also, if it's an interesting packaging, there's like the unboxing videos that people post around. So there's all the thing can be plugged into your potential for UGC videos that actually lift your product above the noise.
Great. I heard a little, we talk about tariff and margins, and then I don't know if you can give us a crystal ball or I know you do a lot, like you mentioned shipping containers and a lot of logistics in China. I don't know if you have some outlook. We're still early in 2026. I don't know what you are thinking or if it's anything you can share with people. We're all going through these unknowns, I feel, right now. Do you have any thoughts?
Look, basically, there is money to be made in the tariff game. There's money to be saved with the tariff game. So there's like when you import, there's like the code, the designation code of your product. And if you're working with a good custom broker, they can assign the right custom number for your product, especially if they take into consideration the packaging. And there's incentives for eco-friendly packaging. You can actually pay less tariff if your packaging meets eco-friendly regulations.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's good to know.
Yeah, but you have to have a good custom broker. So you just don't go by, usually you can consult online, or you can find someone that is responsible for your import process, for your supply chain, and consult them with the custom code for your product and see if there's loopholes that you can like squeeze in.
Makes sense.
And get a better, pay less tariff. Again, we're just about to get a Supreme Court ruling on tariffs. Maybe the entire tariff thing was illegal. Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe it's going to be.
I heard it was coming out sooner.
It should have come last Wednesday. I didn't follow, but.
Yeah, I heard it was supposed to already come. I didn't know.
And corporations like Costco and Walmart are already suing the United States government. They want to get their tariffs back, and talking billions of dollars, like Costco paid like $3 billion in tariffs.
Crazy.
And they want to get their tariffs back if it is illegal. So it's an ongoing issue. It's going to be hard to prove that you actually didn't roll the tariff onto your customers and they already paid for it because you increased your prices. For me, for example, I didn't. And
I don't think most of us, we were scared to increase price.
Yeah. It's just actually tariffs are just now starting to creep into the prices that you sell on Amazon. I just heard. During 2025, sellers usually kept their prices they have to absorb.
Yeah, because you
You
don't
know.
want a shock. You can't move so fast with it. You gotta react slowly.
It's a changing landscape. If we might be, what we're saying now might be obsolete next week because the Supreme Court is going to say, hey, the entire tariff thing was illegal
It's
and
a
drop and just drop it.
it's an amazing world. It's definitely not boring, right? But it's definitely
Yeah.
higher stress lately.
I got to tell you, I had tariff was like, for example, I had shipments going to the States and then the tariffs went up. And corporations like Walmart and Costco and Target, they priced us out of shipping because they were like panic shipping. They panic shipping from China. For example, I had containers on a ship already, and they actually, the ship went to left China, arrived to Singapore or Hong Kong. My containers were offloaded. Higher beater containers were put on the ship,
Whoa, I never heard
and
of
I
that
had
one.
to, yeah, and I had to wait 10 days for another ship container. Just someone dropped it along the way. Yeah, it happens. It's amazing.
I heard the really horrible ones where people had imports coming on. They wanted to almost not take it because they had a customs. And these are small business owners, right? It's not like the factory has to pay this, the importer, the buyer. Usually it's like our community has to pay this.
But before it gets to the consumer, you have to release it from customs. So you have to
Yeah,
pay
you
the
got to pay up
tariff.
front. Yeah.
And sometimes you left the factory when there was no tariff and you arrived to the States when it's like you got slapped with a
That
50% tariff.
was my complaint. I said, fine, maybe whatever he can agree or not agree, but I feel like he should have been a little bit more time. That was my feedback. Let's give
Yeah.
us a couple of months. It's not like it's B2B, it's like cross-border international. It takes months. The lead times, it's that was my biggest complaint, regardless of how I or others feel. I feel like we should have got more time. But
You should, a lot of, like for us, for me, I got slapped with 175% tariff. And because there's anti-dumping and there's packaging and it just concocted into 100. And then there was like the 100% tariff that the government, that the administration put on China. And we got right in the crossfire. And yeah, so one of the things is you have to understand that a lot of Chinese factories are actually branching out to other areas
yeah.
which have that doesn't have tariff. So you should see if you have if they have an alternative for you. If you can purchase your product from tax-free countries like Mexico, like I set up a factory in Thailand, which at the time had zero tariff. Now it has
Yeah, no.
18%.
All right. This has been a
Yeah.
fun convo. And what are some takeaways? Like you said, things are changing so fast. Who knows what next week will bring? What are some tips you'd like to give other across these people doing business, cross-border trade, e-com? What are some of your high-level strategies or thoughts now in today's environment?
As an Amazon seller, my biggest take is working with AWD, the Amazon Warehouse and Distribution Service. Before that, I worked with 3PLs, very expensive. It's priced me out at any profit. When I made the switch to work with AWD, my life, it's a life-changing decision because, first of all, it ties into your FBA. And the second thing is that you can grow to other platforms. Like I sell on fair.com as well. And using AWD really simplifies the entire process. And it's cheap. It's very cheap. It's very affordable. I say my biggest tip working with bulk and packaging and for me was switching to work with the Amazon Warehouse and Distribution.
Okay.
Another thing that Another thing that you heard me talk a lot about is working with Payoneer.
Yeah, I know.
And I've been working with Payoneer for 7 years already. And The one thing that I love about it is their business financing. You can get business financing up to $1 million at low, basically 3%. It's a fixed 3% interest. And they can give you, it's for four to five months. It's short-term business financing. And if you're building out or you're already an established seller, that is also something that really helps me mitigate this particular time period when there's a lot of unknowns and you want to be ahead of the curve.
Okay.
And you want to be with good terms with your factory. Having that finance backing you up against the factory and for the process of manufacturing and shipping and give you that 4 or 5 months of business backing, I think that's a great thing. Again, it ties into packaging. I know this, I'm talking as an Amazon seller, but it ties into packaging where it's a holistic thing. Look at the entire picture. Your packaging size, how you fill it up, what's the material, what's the weight, what kind of custom codes you can apply for if you're using a biodegradable, eco-friendly packaging. All these things tied into your bottom line eventually, your profit margins. And beside of the hard numbers, I think there is opportunity in brand awareness when you're working with new material, eco-friendly material, that plugs into your brand awareness. You can sell it as a selling point or a feature. And all these things, I think, especially now these days, these things are going to be very important looking for going forward.
Right. Yeah, I feel similar. All right, Sivan, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. And SoGreenPack.com. You see, it's amazing. We were going on. We can keep going. This has been fun.
Man, I was just worried I have nothing to say, but
there's plenty of it.
It's been, 41 minutes.
Yeah, we got a lot of hacks and strategies and stories, inspirations. SoGreenPack.com is the best place. Is there other things we should put in there for you? Or
This is where we are.
Okay, great. Thanks for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure to get you on.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you again. See you soon.
See you, yeah. See you in Samui.
Wow. Dropping so much real-world insight. If you're rethinking your packaging, tariffs, or sustainability play in 2026, definitely check out SoGreenPack.com. Link is in the show notes.
So many great takeaways. Question your current materials. Talk to a sharp customs broker about eco-classifications. Look at the refill/reuse angles for branding. And don't assume green always costs more. Sometimes it saves when you zoom out.
100%. And if today's conversation got you thinking about your own supply chain upgrades or tariff navigation strategy, drop us your biggest takeaway or question over on the Global from Asia community or reply to the email newsletter.
Before we go, reminder again, Cross-Border Summit Chiang Mai. November 3rd to 5th, still the flagship event and shaping up to be the strongest one yet. Then the Cross-Border Mastermind Koh Samui, March 24th to 27th, 2026. Intimate, high-level, life-changing for the right people.
Details and registration links are below. If you're on the fence, just come. You already know the magic happens when this crew gets together.
Thanks for spending part of your day with us. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with one cross-border friend who needs to hear it. That's the best way to help us keep growing.
Forge your own path, stay adaptable, and we'll catch you on the very next episode. Take care.
To get more info about running an international business, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.